From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. Consumer electronics are front and center when it comes to big-ticket holiday items, with sales of new gadgets seeing a big bump during the holiday months. But what can companies do to make sure their newest toy moves from one-year fad to perennial favorite? Marketplace's Wes Williams has more.
Fitness trackers, smartwatches, and drones, they're all relying heavily on the holiday season this year.
In some technology categories, manufacturers are making up about half of their revenue for the year in the holiday season.
Ben Arnold is a consumer technology analyst for the NPD Group, and he says there is a way companies can survive the doldrums of the rest of the year.
You've got to make sure you sustain that interest in the product with messaging throughout the year, making sure that you hit some of the other holiday periods, particularly in the spring.
But that just gets you through 1 year. Staying relevant after that isn't just a marketing problem. Take wearables, for example. Jonathan Melnick is a senior analyst at Lux Research.
About half the people after a year stop using their activity trackers.
And for that problem, he says, having the best working product is what counts the most. I'm Wes Williams for Marketplace.
Marketplace Tech is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and awesome, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. You know what time it is, don't you? Tally time. And since it's Christmas, I have a gift for you, a sweeping 2015 year in tech Silicon Tally. My friendly opponent, Quentin Hardy, deputy technology editor for the New York Times. Quentin, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the year's tech news?
Ben, bring it.
All right. $10 Australian.
Price of a drone delivery.
It is actually, I think, probably a really good idea and a good application for Australia, which is a really big place, right, with a lot of towns few and far between in certain areas. This is actually the cost it takes to glitter bomb your enemies, thanks to the Australian startup ShipYourEnemiesGlitter.com. Do you remember this one?
Oh, yes.
Yes, let us send them some stupid glitter that is guaranteed to go everywhere. You don't have to move a muscle, says the website.
Now, when I was a boy, we relied on our wits to be hopelessly aggravating, but I guess we've outsourced that too.
All right, what do you got for me?
Okay, 1% of 45 billion.
I got nothing. What is it?
The amount of his fortune Mark Zuckerberg said he would keep. Last month he said he would give away 99% of his $45 billion in Facebook stock. I like the number because it does underline what a year it was in kind of soul-searching and immense wealth out here in the Valley. We had Ellen Powell and the role of gender. We had the Airbnb rulings about San Francisco and whether the town was being driven out by tech, and Zuckerberg showing up saying he should give it all away. And I think the extent to which tech is changing everybody's life and the ethical implications of that have become a greater and greater issue inside technology.
What else you got for me?
Only $15 million.
I got nothing.
The website Fab, valued at $1 billion just a year before, sold for only $15 million last March.
Ooh, it's tough out there.
Fab was an early unicorn, and it was the first unicorn, you know, company valued before IPO at over $1 billion to just go down at a shattering markdown.
Wow.
When the real valuation came and people said, what's this thing actually worth? It was worth about 98.5% less than people had thought a year earlier.
What a year. What's the mythical creature that we should associate with a company that was a unicorn and is now worth a measly $15 million or less?
Something in the jackalope family, right?
All right, you heard it here. Quentin Hardy, deputy technology editor for the New York Times and jackalope predictor. Thanks a lot for playing along.
Happy New Year to you.
Another big tech topic in 2015, data tracking and ad blocking, as in software that prevents cookies from following you around online and delivering you advertising. Ad blockers have been controversial, in part because publishers from the New York Times to your mom and her blog about home improvement make their money from ads served on the web. While working on our latest Codebreaker episode about data tracking, we talked with Glenn Fleischman, who thinks deep thoughts about ad blocking and data tracking and how it gets at the fundamental infrastructure of the web.
I think the breakdown in trust happens in going from a mechanism designed to not record anything about you to all these stapled on means. You know, we don't have a way to say to a site, here's what I'm willing to let you know about me. And the site says, here's what we'd like to negotiate. You don't do a negotiation. You go to the site and you're essentially obliged to accept whatever it gives you. I am not opposed, and some people are, but I am not opposed to advertising on the internet. I'm not opposed to commercially supported things that use advertising and sponsorship. What I am opposed to is my information being used in methods that I am unaware of and would not approve of were I to know.
What if we need to just pay to access ad-free content, not in terms of just like a siloed service, but in terms of the web, period?
Yeah, I don't think it's supportable because it's an interesting idea. Is what if we had to pay for everything we did on the web? What if we had to pay for search? What if we had to pay for anything we read or blogs?
Or we didn't have to pay, you know, unless we wanted to pay to have our data not be tracked.
Right. I mean, this brings up, it's like the Hulu situation. If you subscribe to Hulu Plus and you give them money, you still get ads. You're like, wait a minute, aren't I paying you for – well, the ads are so valuable. The advertiser lets me collect the micropayment I can't from you because they aggregate what your value is to them, and they pay me for that. And then you don't have to pay that, but I get the advantage of those tiny transactions adding up.
That's Glenn Fleischman, editor-at-large at The Wirecutter. The latest episode of our podcast, Codebreaker, is all about data tracking. Get it at the website codebreaker.code, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.